is the Day Zero update for December 3rd, 2017. I'm Filippo D'Analfo.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
And I'm Chris Elogi.
And I don't know about you guys, but the winter is definitely setting in.
Yeah, it is here.
Yep. So, yeah, it looks like winter gaming is definitely on the horizon for pretty much all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know what that means for you guys, but that probably means RPGs for me, so...
Yep.
Yeah. It's going to be fun. Hopefully. Mm-hmm. I just got to find a couple that I want to get into. I might go back to Lost Odyssey, because, yeah, Last Odyssey. Because, yeah, looks like a good one for the winter. Nice 4-disc RPG, and I got it on the Xbox One, so may as well just download it and play that crap. But yeah, we got other things going on this week, not the least of which being EA being EA. I don't think we're going to get away from that story for a good while, I don't think.
Well, they've been saving some pretty lackluster news cycles, so...
Yeah, so at least we got that going for us, but...
So we should probably thank them in a weird way.
Yeah, so... but yeah, we got some of that going on. But before that, we've been playing some stuff. You guys have been playing some stuff. I haven't been playing much other than Forza 7 and occasionally buying a loot box in there. Irritating. It just is. It really is. But I have if you know the Forza rewards thing that they do.
Yeah.
Basically, every week you just open up their app and they just like dump credits into your account.
Mm-hmm.
So I just use those to buy the loot boxes. So basically, they're paying me to buy their loot boxes. So I win.
So then you break even.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's like, I win. Yeah. So there.
Or you come out a little ahead if it's a good loot box.
Yeah. Yeah. Occasionally you do. It's a little bit more irritating now that they actually changed how they work. There used to be mixed crates where you could get, like, gear and... a car and some mods. They removed those. So, yeah. Now it's just you buy a gear crate or a car crate or a mod crate. There's no mixed. Which, because it was probably too good of a value, apparently. So, but that's it for me. How about you guys?
I've been getting further and further into Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite. Really good game at this point. I'm quite pleased with it. I'm getting gradually better with my team of Jedha and Sigma, and just looking forward to continuing to level up there. I'm racking up some pretty good wins on ranked, and pretty soon I should be ready to start streaming it, so looking forward to that. Still playing Nier Automata. I think I'm at a point now where I can pretty well evaluate how I feel about it as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
And it will definitely be in my Game of the Year mix, so that's...
Give it a little longer, it'll be even higher.
Cosmic Star Heroine, I'm finally setting aside some time for, and that's been quite a bit of fun. And really impressed with the gameplay system that they've managed to put together for it. So... that might crack into my top 10 for the year. And then, of course, Stormblood, which is a constant for me.
Yeah. We're playing that pretty much every week.
Oh, yeah. It's that good. That's been my week.
Yeah.
What?
All right. Well, as for me, I finished Horizon Zero Dawn. So for right now, I've been playing Stardew Valley. And I've also, I loaded up Cosmic Star Heroine last night. I haven't gotten a chance to play it yet, but, I will be soon, probably after we finish this cast. also been doing everything in my power to resist looking at anything related to Xenoblade Chronicles 2, other than the reviews, because, I really want to.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably getting a copy in 22 days, so it's like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's what I've been up to. So what about you, Chris?
So I've been shooting Nazis on Wolfenstein 2.
Always nice last time.
Yep.
Yeah, been doing some of the early stuff in that, and it's been pretty good so far. And I like especially that first mission where you're in the wheelchair
Mm-hmm.
I love the kind of the detail of the movement as you are kind of very stilted in the way you can move because you're obviously in a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can't go up steps, but you can't go down. And they do some really clever level design in that particular level, sort of having to use some of the different parts of the U-boat to get around. And it's just really fun to play. The stealth isn't great. I've been trying to stay as stealthy as I can in some of the instances, but it definitely gets hard just because you don't really have great kind of vision around you. There is sort of a lean button, but other than that, you can't easily get a glimpse of your surroundings without mostly kind of outing yourself to enemies. But for the most part, it's been pretty good, especially the story stuff. I decided I wanted to go for the... 'cause early on, they have you, you know, repurpose a decision from the first game, whether you're going to save, what is it, Fergus or Wyatt?
Mm-hmm.
I've been hearing a lot of people on podcasts saying they went for... They just picked one guy, ended up finding out he wasn't the one that is in the trailer that's doing drugs. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I'm going to go for this guy. That's Wyatt. And that hasn't shown up yet, as I'm just in the part where you get to actually explore the U-boat.
Yeah.
Which has a lot of cool stuff around there.
Mm-hmm.
They have like an arcade cabinet with Wolfenstein 3D on there, which glitched out for me.
Mm.
In the menus. I just got to a menu where I couldn't back out or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to use an autosave from a few minutes before that to undo it, which was just weird, but... Yeah, that's been good so far. Been playing more Nier, and I love their commitment to the late title card and credit stuff.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause even in my third sort of playthrough, they still shove that stuff in there, even though it's like, yeah, I know this is Nier.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that, you know, Platinum and Yokotaru have worked on this game.
Mm-hmm.
But they make sure to hammer that home that, like, oh, this is like a new game for you. But yeah, that's been pretty fun, though. I also got another of the endings, because mm-hmm. there's one part where you get infected with a virus.
Yep.
And I didn't know exactly where to go.
Yeah, that happened to me the first time, too.
Because they tell you, go to the factory, and it's like, oh, I know where the factory is. No, there's apparently another part of the map that's known as a factory.
Yeah.
And I didn't notice that until I was way too late to get over there.
Yep.
Because they constantly mess with your controls.
Yep, and controls and your interface and the UI. The
interface isn't too much of a problem. It's just that you can't easily run past enemies.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been good so far. And I'm at the point where I've switched to a new character. And I'm looking forward to playing some more of that. And another game I've been playing is Skyforce Reloaded, which I talked about Skyforce Anniversary a while back,
mm-hmm.
The sort of mobile ported shooter to the consoles that very much is all about the grind of getting the stars to upgrade your various parts of your ship, your health, weapons, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This is the follow-up, and it has all of that and even more. For the upgrades, they have like tiers of upgrades now. So once you fill up the bar, it's like, okay, that's bar one. Now you can upgrade your health or your cannons or stuff like that a second time for even more power, which I guess is addressing one point where you just kind of fully max out your ship and then you have nothing really to spend your currency on in the first game. So this sort of gives you more. And also, like, the levels are very hard up front. I got to, I think, the fourth level, and I could not get past it for a while. But, yeah, it's – I eventually got the hang of the enemies because they just throw a ton of tanks and such at you. There's just a lot of stuff on screen to try and dodge that you kind of really have to pay attention to the patterns and prioritize who you're going to take down first to make everything else easier. But also just getting the other abilities and just upgrading them a bit helps out a lot too. They added some other stuff to it, like there are multiple ships. I've not unlocked those yet, but they drop sort of like the cards did in the first game, where they're just kind of at random. So I got like the first part of one of the ships. I assume they all have different abilities beyond just the basic stuff. The cards are still there that drop that give you small little bonuses, but they also have some of them that also give you like 15 minutes of like increased firing rate or maxed out firing rate or increases how many of the star currency drops when you kill enemies, that sort of stuff. It's like 15 minutes, so it's like, oh, I'll play for a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Max that out. But the cards also just give you a base increase in some of that stuff as well, beyond just the time-limited part of it. They also have a weird kind of, I don't know how to describe it. They call it an objective system. It's more just it tracks the very stats it keeps. And as you reach certain milestones, it ranks you up in that stats. And then that counts towards an overall progression system that I don't know what it unlocks yet because I've not reached the first ranking of that. But that's a little bit interesting way to add some more stuff to it. But yeah, it's pretty cool so far. And it's just another good game that is very much a podcast game. Something to just put on a podcast and just grind away in this shmup. That's pretty good. It's on sale for the launch, $8 for PS Plus people, like $9 without it. But they also put the original on sale for $3, I think. So definitely if you haven't checked it out yet, that might be a good time to jump in.
Yeah.
Though I think it was also on PS Plus in the past couple months, so it's also another reason to get jumped. Yeah, it's been pretty good. And I guess one other thing is I've been catching up on some of the Extra Life archives. I watched everything that Giant Bomb did and Alex Navarro playing essentially expert Rock Band 4 drums for 16 hours is crazy. Especially when he got mad at himself for putting some of the harder songs like next to, like back to back or something like that in a stupid way. But he had a couple guests come in and play or, let's see. He had Pat Bear on that did a little bit of the singing, which his first song was Call Me Maybe. So that was fun. So he does not have a great singing voice, so he kind of sings songs, talks songs. It. So that was good. Then he had Abby on to play guitar later on, which he has no fail on, so I just make sure they're not going to have any, you know, failures and having to retry songs or anything like that. But yeah, it was pretty fun. I watched all of the Game Informer stuff. I showed you that picture of Ben Reeves with the weird haircut.
Yeah.
Which I found out what that was. For $2,000, they're offering $2,000 donations. They were offering people the ability to have their heads shaved for some of the people. And he has curly hair. So they had an idea to suggest, hey, have his hair cut like Krusty the Clowns. So that's why he has the weird haircut. They were trying to approximate that. And then towards the end, they had another one where they just played, Pictionary in one of their heads. This used the haircut, the buzzer to trim a drawing into somebody's hair, which ended up being the GI logo, so it's sort of the G, essentially, into the hair. Also, did a reverse Krusty to another guy. So he had the big hole in the top of the head, and then essentially had all the bottom parts of the hair just cut off. And does this weird thing where they just bump the top of their heads together, so like connecting the two haircuts. They just did a lot of stupid shit to each other. Had ghost peppers that they ate for $1,000 through pies, particularly through a hair pie with the combination of Ben's hair and their pie, threw it at one of the guys who was just playing the heel role throughout the whole stream, just suggesting everybody else get pied in the face. So he got the hair pie in his face, which is pretty good. It was mostly just a lot of stuff like that, but it was good to see, you know, some of these sites doing some cool Extra Life stuff. Yeah, that's been pretty much it for me this week.
All right, cool. So we'll get into the shrapnel, and well, first up, we've got December's PlayStation Plus and Games with Gold games. Kind of a weird month, I would say. Yeah, let's see here. On the PlayStation 4, we got, well, okay, Darksiders Definitive Edition. God damn, that name sucks.
And Darksiders 2.
Yeah.
So that's the more Diablo-feeling game.
Yeah. A while back, I got that with the THQ bundle. So
Yeah,
I already got that. Then there's, Kung Fu Panda Showdown of Legendary Legends. Also redundant. So that's the main PS4 titles, but there's also Siberia Collection on the PS3. Not bad at all. I'd probably pick that up.
Yeah, if you like old school adventure games, those are the Siberia games are definitely worth playing.
Yep. Also on the PS3 is X-Blaze Lost Memories. Never played that one, so don't really have
any visual novel set in the Blaze Blue universe.
Yeah. Okay, so that's not too bad. PS Vita and PS4 cross-buy is Formate for, yeah.
I believe that is kind of Metroidvania-ish.
Yeah.
I've heard good things about it, so it seems like a good game to get.
Yeah. Yeah, cross-buy with PS4 and Vita, and just on the Vita is Wanted Core. Don't know that one.
From the screenshots I'm looking at, it looks like a dual stick shooter. If not, it's faking that pretty good. It's like a third-person shooter.
Yeah. So, yeah, some strange games for the PS4.
Well, there's also Until Dawn, Rush of Blood continues being free for PS Plus for PSVR people.
Oh, yeah, if you did.
Mm-hmm. It goes until January. There's the Monster Hunter World beta. It's exclusive to PS Plus members from December 9th to the 12th.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you get your taste of that. And they also mention a PS Plus pack for Smite. People. That starts on the 12th of December to January 9th. So you get 31 skins, 20 gods, and a bunch of voice packs. Seems like a pretty good haul for not having to pay anything for that.
Yeah. Good bit of microtransactions that you're not doing.
Yeah, they've been doing a lot of stuff like that where most of the free-to-play games that come in offer up like, hey, here's some free stuff for PS Plus people.
Yeah. So that's PS Plus, and on Games with Gold, it's a little less. On the Xbox One, you have Warhammer End Times of Vermintide.
That is Left 4 Dead, but with rats instead of zombies.
Then you also have the Back to the Future collection.
If you want to see what Telltale was doing before The Walking Dead... what that is.
That's what that is, yeah.
And that's a pretty cool series, too.
Yeah.
See, it's written by the original creators of Back to the Future.
Yep.
So it's very much canon.
Yeah.
And also just messes with the canon. As you expect a Back to the Future thing, it goes back through to some of the classic parts of that story and messes with them.
Yeah. Finally, on Xbox 360, you've got Child of Eden, which not a bad
just
game.
In time for a bunch of people not to have a Kinect anymore.
Yep.
Well, I don't know that it works with Xbox One Kinect or not.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's just controller on Xbox 360 or Xbox One now.
Yeah. Just controller, I think.
Yeah. Must be pretty good.
Yeah. Well, couldn't hurt. And then there's a Hack and Slash, which, I've never seen this one before.
Marlo Briggs and the Mask of Death.
Yeah, sounds cheesy, but...
I've heard it's good. I got it for 99 cents from a Steam sale a while back, and it's supposed to be pretty good, cheesy as well, as you'd expect.
Yeah. Well, if it's some decent hack and slash action, I'd be okay with it. So, yeah, for December is also a month where you can get $1 Xbox Live, so might pick that up. Yeah. So that is the free games for the month. There's some good stuff there. There's some stuff I've never heard of, but looks like it's pretty decent. So get those games.
Yeah.
That's price of all.
Yeah, free. In other news, we got some Capcom-related stuff. Monday is going to be kind of a big day. It's a 30th anniversary live stream for celebrating the anniversary of Mega Man, obviously. I'm sure they're going to be playing the two Legacy Collections, no doubt about that.
Yep.
What they're going to announce is yet to be determined.
Yeah. It's going to be something.
Yeah.
I would guess X anniversary.
That would be nice.
Would be nice. You know what else would be nice?
What's that?
An actual new Mega Man game.
Yeah.
We're not there yet. We've got to get all the producer Mega Man now. Games.
Yep. So.
We gotta go through X. Gotta go through Legends. We gotta go through the RPGs.
Yeah,
yeah. You gotta get them all on the platform before you can do a new one.
I think they could do X and skip straight to Zero.
Yeah. Well, the Battle Network stuff wasn't bad.
No.
Yeah. So yeah, stay tuned for that because it promises to be pretty interesting. At the very least, we're gonna get to see some pretty good Mega Man play. Hopefully. I'm sure some of the people that they're going to have there will be good at the game. So, but that's not all that Capcom will probably be doing on Monday. We're probably going to be getting our first look at the Street Fighter V arcade mode.
Yeah, you better cross my fingers. Don't screw this up, Capcom.
Well, I don't think they're going to screw it up. I just... hope everyone who's been calling for this mode to become a thing is paying attention.
Yeah.
Yeah, because this isn't your typical arcade mode. It's there's some more going on there. So, yeah, we'll see how they implemented it. And, we'll see all the new art because, there will be a lot of it to go through.
Yeah.
Should
be good.
Yeah, it should be a good day for Capcom on Monday.
Yep.
So stay tuned for that. And, well, obviously next week we'll be talking about what they actually did announce. So, yeah, stay tuned for that. In other news, there's a PS4 theme that's being called the PS2 Legacy Dashboard. You'll be able to pick this up on the 6th of December. For $3, and while I normally never really buy themes, I'm totally buying this one.
Yeah, it looks great.
It looks awesome.
Yeah, all right.
It looks completely awesome. So yeah, they actually did a lot more with the theming than most people tend to do. So yeah, check it out. There's a video there showing what it's got. Yeah, well worth it. I'm going to pick it up. Probably might also pick up the Jak and Daxter games that are showing up that same day. So
you really do need to... Have you never played those before?
I have, but...
All right.
Wouldn't mind playing them again on the PS4.
Yeah, that first game holds up really well.
Second game,
not so much. It's like, hey, we like...
pretty good, though.
We like GTA 3, but we're trying to make it a platformer as well.
Yeah.
And then the vehicle controls are best left unsaid.
Yeah, that was bad.
Third game's best of both worlds, though. So
Next up, we got confirmation that Ashley Birch is going to be reprising her role as Chloe in Life is Strange Before the Storm. There's a bonus episode coming.
Yeah, so that's part of the deluxe edition of Before the Storm. So you get like a special bonus episode that features Max and Chloe. So both of the actresses are returning for that. This is just a result of the voice actor strike.
Being ended.
And so it's cool that she gets to at least take hold of that role for one more time. Before whatever they're doing with season 2. We don't really know yet.
Yeah.
This is pretty cool. The video they have behind the scenes showing them being able to work together again is great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I look forward to that. That's out in early 2018. And they're finishing up the third and final episode of Before the Storm. Hopefully that's out before the end of the year.
Yep. So, yeah, keep an eye out on that. And finally, we have confirmation that Shin Megami Tensei V is Switch-bound for the West. So
yes.
Yay.
Sounds good.
The RPG lineup grows.
Yep.
Yeah. If you really wanted a console for RPGs, it looks like the Switch is definitely becoming that.
Mm-hmm. Still weird that this is on Unreal Engine.
Yeah, well, everything is on Unreal Engine at this point.
Unreal or Unity.
Yeah. It's just, you know, they're very scalable engines. They're easy to work with. It's like, you know, why reinvent the wheel every time when you can just use that?
So. Yeah, the engine that made Gears of War is now doing this.
Yeah. Now doing RPGs and puzzle games and fighting games and racing games and all kinds of things.
So, yeah.
So we'll move on to our topics of the week. And first off, kind of good news for people who are into JRPGs like us. Hironobu Sakaguchi was talking to Nintendo Life, apparently. And kind of confirmed that he's kind of interested in going back to developing for consoles, in particular, possibly the Switch.
Yeah.
And the RPG lineup grows.
More RPGs.
This is a huge get for Nintendo.
Yep. Yeah.
Now, right now, there are Mistwalkers working on Terra Battle 3. So I wouldn't be too surprised to see that make its way to Switch. Hopefully they would do, you know, more... in the way of mobile porting than some developers do. We'll talk a bit more about that later. But yeah, this is Mistwalker. You know, they're going to be, you know, they're going to play to the console that they're working on. So
yeah.
And, you know, maybe some more original and more epic things from Mistwalker to come. So
we can only hope.
It works out better than Blue Dragon and... What was the other game they made on Xbox?
Lost Odyssey?
Yeah. Hope it works out better than
Lost Odyssey. Really good and definitely should be played.
Yeah. I've got to find my copy of Blue Dragon. It's around here somewhere. Anyways. So, yeah, let's get back onto the Battlefront 2 train, because, it made a stop this week and picked up a few more stories. So, according to EA's CFO, Blake Jorgensen, the reason that Battlefront 2 is pay to win is because they wanted to respect the canon.
Sorry.
They say that Star Wars fans want realism, and so nobody really wanted a pink Darth Vader. Pink Darth Vader would be awesome. I should just point that out.
Yes.
But it also is kind of a blatant lie, because they did visual customizations in the original Battlefront.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, apparently Jorgensen's memory doesn't even go back 2 years. But the icing
on... I do wonder kind of if the fact that they did those customizations in Battlefront 1 taught them regret.
No, because none of the customizations in Battlefront 1 are, like, stupid or anything. They're just, you know, sensible, or they work, they look all right. You know, they did them well. So to say that they don't want to do it because it would ruin the canon is just complete and utter BS, and absolutely nobody is buying it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Especially data miners, because they started digging around at the Battlefront 2 files and found, oh, look at that, character customizations. Well, and not just a handful of them, a shit ton of them.
Mm-hmm.
So either that was in there from the beginning, and EA went ahead and said, actually, no, strip that out, we're just going to do pay to win. Or these got dropped in recently, and it's preparation for walking back some of that pay to win stuff and putting in customizations instead. Either way, it's sleazy as fuck, if you ask me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, especially if you're lying about it. So...
It just seems like this is going to become a weekly feature now.
Yeah. Well, until it finally gets resolved, I think we're probably going to keep talking about it, because, yeah, it's the gift that just keeps on giving. I don't have the level of... well, I do have a very huge, high level of disdain for EA at this point. Mm-hmm. But I am of the opinion that right now, that what EA really needs to do is just go as far as they can and burn everything to the ground. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just poison that well for everybody so that nobody does this kind of stuff. So I kind of feel like that's what that's going to take. And yeah, they're on a good track with UFC 3.
Oh, yes. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, so it's actually worse.
Yeah, it's worse. Because somebody apparently decided that, you know what would be really good to put inside of our RNG scheme? Everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, you can get characters in the loot boxes. You can get stat boosts. You can get actual techniques, like, you know, a basic jab.
That is stronger than the usual jab?
Yeah, can be gotten inside of loot boxes. Mm. It's basically turned the game into, well...
a slot machine.
Yeah, it really is kind of a slot machine that you can just basically go in, drop a bunch of cash, and not just get all of the gear that you probably could want, and then go and play online and beat the crap out of people.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the game is going to be coming out in February, so it's possible that... they may actually walk this back, and they just didn't have the time to pull it out before the beta started.
Mm-hmm.
But given that it is EA, I'm not really too hopeful.
Hold your breath.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, you know, it's disappointing, because I would have enjoyed playing a good UFC game, and now I'm not going to if this continues, because... Yep. There's no reason for me to.
Exactly.
It's really all we need to know about that game.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. You go in, you get a bunch of loot boxes, and now you customize your character that way. Whatever happened to gameplay, you know? Or character progression in a, you know, traditional sense. Win fights, get points. Just saying.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what EA wants, apparently. Mm-hmm. They just want all of our money, all of the time, in perpetuity. Yeah. Anyways. So this next story is kind of weird and a little bit disconcerting. This is a kind of a block matching game on a Switch called Mujo.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mobile port, and a very lazy one at that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
it's here's like the thing, though. Isn't this the one that also is, like, free?
It's an app? On mobile, it's free with microtransactions.
Yeah.
On the Switch, it's $10 with microtransactions.
Ugh.
How did Nintendo let this through?
That is a good goddamn question.
I don't know. It's Nintendo's responsibility to tell developers how to make their games.
No, that was Nintendo's whole thing once upon a time.
Yeah.
Yeah, but not anymore.
No.
If the developer wants to port their game over and not change it for the platform, that's their right. It's a bad thing they shouldn't do, but if they want to fuck up their own game, that's
their prerogative, I guess.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I talked about a mobile game earlier, Skyforce Reloaded. I'm sure I had plenty of microtransactions on phones, but has nothing on PS4.
Yeah, nothing on PS4, whereas this is $10 and still has the microtransactions.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's kind of
I wouldn't
concerning.
Begrudge Nintendo to say, you know what, you're not releasing this on our platform.
Yeah. I'm sure if there's enough backlash, Nintendo might actually end up pulling it. I don't know. Because, or they may make the developer go, if you're going to be putting microtransactions like this in there, you should really just release it as free. So, yeah, I don't know how that's going to shake out, because honestly, it's kind of the same kind of thing that we're starting to see on PS4 now, with some really, really shoddy games showing up. It's not to that same level yet. I think this is like maybe the first one that we're really seeing get any kind of exposure.
Yeah. So,
hopefully it's just an outlier, and well, the Switch will not end up the cesspool that Steam and PS4 are starting to be.
Well, let's be honest. I mean, this is something that even Nintendo, as far back as the NES, had problems with. I mean, we like to think of like the Nintendo seal of approval as this like all like this sort of all powerful shield of quality, but the truth is, crap still managed to make it through. So,
oh yeah,
yeah, that was just a limitation of trying to avoid the Atari situation.
Yeah,
where everything was releasing on it, whether it was good or not, and getting overproduced to the point where games were just a couple bucks getting clearanced out, and then nobody wanted any more games for it because you could just wait and everything would be, you know, $5.
Yeah.
And then nobody made any money anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think we're going to end up like that on the Switch, but yeah, it's weird.
We'll see, because they're letting some of the Wii U eShop developers that made some of the shit on there, those showed up pretty quickly.
Yeah.
After, because remember we were talking about early on, like, Nintendo heavily regulating who was allowed to release games early on.
Yeah.
And it didn't take too long before they started releasing the floodgates, and you got a lot of great stuff, but you also got some of the Wii U and 3DS eShop developers jumping on board with their questionable stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, games that I've done videos of, like, oh, this just simulates rolling dice or a dice game, like poker dice set. It's like, okay. I could also probably get that for free on PC.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just a random number generator.
Yeah. Random.org. You know. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's I don't doubt that right now Nintendo needs, you know, quantity on the eShop. I'm just kind of, you know, a little bit concerned that maybe their standards are starting to slip a little bit. As the Switch is getting more and more successful, it seems like Nintendo's falling back into their previous ways, as it were. Oh well.
But it's just one example. Just
yeah, it's just one example. You know, one does not make a pattern. So keep an eye on that, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. So next week we got a couple of events to look forward to. Capcom Cup and PlayStation Experience. What are we looking forward to?
I think Capcom's going to have more to say than Sony at this point. There's going to be, obviously, the Season 3 Street Fighter V announcements to coincide with Arcade Edition. No doubt we're going to get the first character for Season 3, if not more than one, based on some of the hints that have been dropped so far.
Right.
I also expect that we're going to see at least the first wave of 2018 characters for Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite. And so that should be interesting. Hopefully they fix that goddamn roster imbalance that's there right now, because...
Yeah, that's really irritating some people, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's too many on one side. Just yeah, like there really should be a balance, but... Well.
But hopefully we'll get, you know, some more word on features coming to Arcade Edition in the coming year.
Mm-hmm.
So, as far as Sony goes, I'm not really sure what to expect. I don't really think they could get away with running PlayStation Experience without having any new game announcements, but I wouldn't have the slightest idea of where they'd start at this point.
Yeah, you know, as for me, I think Capcom Cup is going to be pretty intriguing. Sure, they've got Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite stuff to announce. They've got Street Fighter V stuff to announce, but they've also got a perfect stage to announce a third, maybe a third game that nobody's seen.
Darkstalkers?
Yet. Nope.
Yeah, Darkstalkers, or you know,
Rival Schools.
Be, you know, rival schools, or, hell, it could be something, you know, really obscure, like a sequel to Technomancer for some reason.
Oh, or Power Stone.
Yeah, so...
I think Darkstalkers would blow the roof off the place.
Yeah, if Darkstalkers showed up, that would probably just be, well, that would be the end of it.
Yeah, and the Darkstalkers characters have been really well received in Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite, so there's that to consider.
Yeah, plus the assets that they're using for them, you know, they're already done. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it wouldn't be too hard to bring them into another game. So, there's that. As for PlayStation experience, me personally, I don't know that I would expect very much from Sony. I think what they're going to try to do is just have PlayStation experience as maybe a fan fest and something for independent developers to showcase their stuff at. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, it's a little bit weird and disappointing, but if it means that Sony is actually going to show up to E3 next year, then I would be okay with it.
Hmm.
So, yeah. How about you, Chris, Brendan?
Pretty much everything I could say.
Okay.
I mean, I do wish that, you know, for one thing, I mean, I know we're going to be getting... we're going to be able to get, you know, hopefully we're going to get more of a Street Fighter V Arcade Edition. I hope that it ends up basically answering all the problems I had with the original release, which it probably should, because on top of the fact that, you know, you're actually having an arcade mode with actual endings and boss fights and all that, but you're also getting all of the characters that have been released so far.
Yeah, it's a good package.
Yeah. So, you know, that comes out, I think, January 18th?
Yep.
8th.
January 8th, okay. Well, that's not too far away from Christmas. That'll work just fine.
I
do think, though, if I were to be completely honest, my main caveat with Capcom right now is that they have very much stopped really... experimenting. Like, you know, Capcom used to have like a used to do a lot more than just Street Fighter and Mega Man.
Oh yeah.
And you know, other than the occasional Dead Rising release, that's pretty much all we've been getting from Capcom pretty much the last 10 years.
Yeah, what happened to Ghouls and Ghosts, you know?
Ghouls and Ghosts, you know, we mentioned Power Stone earlier.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of old IPs they still have. They could go back and re-explore, but, you know.
Oh, no, it's January 16th. I was wrong.
Okay, so we're both wrong.
Ooh. Yeah. But, I mean, I can kind of understand why, you know, like, I would like for them to do, like, another Final Fight, but considering what the last Final Fight game was, I can understand them being a little... being a little stingy with that particular license.
Yeah. On the other hand, I mean, they couldn't do it worse. So
yeah, that's true.
You know, I've already hit rock bottom there, so anything's going to be, you know, going up.
Yeah. And how the most folks here who are listening here and didn't know that there was another Final Fight release that was actually released fairly recently. It was just and so
fairly,
bad.
By fairly, we mean 6th gen.
Yeah, and it was so bad, it literally tanked pretty much the franchise for almost completely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. All right. Well, what about you, Chris? You got anything to add?
I think probably the most interesting thing happening soon is not either of these events. It's the Game Awards, which will
That's
be
right.
on Thursday. And it's supposed to have a bunch of announcements as well as all the awards.
Including Guillermo del Toro, who's going to come out, and that probably means we're going to be seeing more of Death Stranding.
Maybe. Yeah. I know they've announced a couple of things. We're going to get a look at the first new map for PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, which is a desert map. Guess what's not on a desert? Foliage. So less hiding for people. And that's probably going to have sparser buildings and such, which is going to be pretty interesting to see how that all works out. I think Sea of Thieves is also going to have something new to show off.
Yeah, that's still a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're going to have... Let's see. I don't know what else there is. They're going to have like a full orchestra to sort of do all the music for that. So hopefully less of the rock music stuff.
Mm-hmm. From
weird bands not many people like. unfortunate for not having like the Doom soundtrack being played there, but other than that, there wasn't too much else that was all that interesting. But yeah, it seems like it's going to be a pretty cool event. That'll be on Thursday night. Mm. Pretty much every streaming service you can find.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be hard to miss this one. You're pretty much going to be tripping over it. Like, it's going to be, I think, on Twitch, obviously. It's going to be featured on the front page, so you can just go over there.
And Twitch, YouTube, I assume on Sony Microsoft's streaming stuff.
Yeah, Mixer will probably show up there.
Yeah, Mixer and their like Xbox Live Entertainment stream thing they do their press conferences on.
Yep.
Sony has their thing. I assume you can find something on Nintendo to do it.
Yeah.
I don't know what they would have. At least pull up your Wii U or 3DS in the YouTube or Twitch apps on there.
Yeah.
The browsers. I'd love to see what that stream looks like on a 3DS browser.
Probably pretty shitty. So
yeah. Be like trying to watch video in like 2000s.
Yeah.
On the internet.
Like some 320p video. Yay. Joy.
Oh yeah, I got that 320 by 240 video of the Dragon Ball Z movie. Sure. It's gonna look awesome.
All right, so that's pretty much what we got this week. So I guess we'll move on to our picks of the week to close us out. I'm going to start off with a little site called Game Hut. This one is by a dude named John Burton. You may have heard of him. He started Traveler's Tales. He's the producer of the Lego Movie.
Mm-hmm.
And what he's basically been doing over the past few months is going back through his stuff. He's got prototypes of stuff like Sonic R, his prototype of Pugsy, the prototype of Sonic 3D. So he's been showing that off on his YouTube channel. He's also been doing a little series called Coding Secrets, where he shows off how they did some of the effects that looked to be impossible at the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's really fascinating stuff. The explanations are pretty easy to follow, except for the times when he like throws up a sheet of code right there. It's like, okay, X68000 assembly, I kind of know where this is going, but I didn't study it enough to really follow it too closely, but it's still pretty easy to figure out what he's actually trying to say. It's good stuff. I found the explanation of the Mickey Mania Tower to be really fascinating because it's a lot more simple than it looks. It's good stuff. So check out Game Hut. The site's there, and it'll link you off to the YouTube channel if you want to have a look. And it's good stuff, and it kind of goes to show, like, you know, we've kind of maybe lost some of that magic from back in the day where clever programmers could really get a lot more out of a platform than wasn't originally thought to be possible, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, that's it for me. How about you, Pat?
My pick of the week is classic PC platform franchise Jazz Jackrabbit, which is now available and at a discounted price for a limited time on GOG. So definitely check those out. It's hard to describe. It's kind of a Sonic the Hedgehog meets side-scrolling shoot 'em up. And it's done by Epic Games, which... from a completely different era for the studio.
Is when they were calling themselves Epic Mega Games.
Yep. And if you enjoy just good, simple, fun platforming, I highly recommend these. They were definitely very influential games in my childhood. And I am absolutely positive they hold up to this day. I still need to wait until next week to pick them up, but I absolutely plan on it, and I highly recommend it to just about anyone who loves platforming.
Yeah. Yeah. These are games that if you can manage to find a CRT to play them on, I would highly recommend it.
Yeah.
Because, these games were kind of designed to run at 75 hertz, and most LCD monitors just won't do that. So,
yep.
Yeah, you'll get tearing and stuff. It's not, just not too bad. 60 to 75 hertz is not a huge difference, but it still does make a little bit of a difference.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm probably going to go over and get these because I really want to play Jazz again. And hopefully it's a CD-ROM version of Jazz too with the intro, because that was really good. Yeah. Mm.
Yep.
If only that series could have made it over to console, I think it would have stuck.
Oh, yeah. So.
All right.
What about you, Brandon?
All right. Well, this is just something that I discovered recently, and it only just happened, I think, the last couple weeks. So everybody knows Hip Tanaka, right?
Right.
Famous composer for NES. He's worked on Metroid, Super Mario Land, pretty much most of the classics that you can think of. Mm-hmm. Well, recently, since the late 2000s, he started performing out in various Japanese dance clubs under the name of Chip Tanaka, because he's considered to be a pioneer in chiptune music. And now he has a solo album out.
Hmm. All right.
So if you get a chance, go on there, listen to it. It's good stuff. It is very... You can tell he's gotten a bit of the vaporwave bug in him, too, because of not just by the music, but the imagery that he uses as well.
Yeah.
So so that's what I got. What about you, Chris?
The Vision is getting a huge update pretty soon. And it is part of their whole, we're supporting this for another year with free updates. This one adds a new PvP or PvE Horde mode, a new 4v4 PvP mode, revamping the underground areas in the game to add some new stuff and refresh it a little bit. They're adding a new rogue toggle for the Dark Zone to help rebalance that, as well as a new gear leveling system or upgrading system to help you increase that stuff, as well as a whole new part of the map. It's on the west portion of the map, called the West Side Pier, as well as new exotics. And that is all free, which is pretty huge, sort of part of the Ubisoft strategy of just keep supporting the games. Eventually they'll start making money. And this is, I think they're supposed to be announcing a release date for this tomorrow. So hopefully it shouldn't be too much longer. Yeah, a good reason to go back to that game and go get more loot and shoot people in the head.
Yeah. So, all right. So that seems like it's our show this week. A little sparse, but hey, it's one of those weeks, you can check us out over at smashpad.com or smashpad.com. That's where we are.
Yeah.
You can also subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, TuneIn, or your favorite RSS reader. With that, I'm Tweepo DeNovo.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
I'm Chris Sologi.
See you next week.